Britain's parliament deals a blow to Prime Minister Boris Johnson. Plus, Hong Kong is withdrawing a controversial extradition bill that sparked a summer of protests.
The immediate reaction between some of the more prominent pro-democracy figures in this leaderless movement have said that that's too little too late.
And YouTube agrees to pay a $170 million fine and to provide more protections for children on its platform. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Before we get to Hong Kong and YouTube, let's begin in the United Kingdom, where British lawmakers have just voted again to delay Brexit and block Prime Minister Boris Johnson from holding an early election. The Wall Street Journal's Max Colchester has more from London.
Parliament has just delivered a blow to Prime Minister Boris Johnson by voting to force him to ask the European Union to delay Brexit. Britain was initially due to leave the EU at the end of October, but now lawmakers are in the process of passing a law which would force the Prime Minister to go to Europe and ask Brexit to be pushed back an extra 3 months so that there's more time to negotiate a deal. Boris Johnson's responded to this by calling for an election, but that too has been stymied after opposition lawmakers voted to block an election. This leaves Britain's parliament in a state of flux. It's unclear exactly what happens next. Both the ruling Conservative Party and Mr. Johnson say they want an election. The opposition Labour Party say that they do also want an election, but it's unclear when. So it'll be a rocky few days ahead in Britain's parliament.
For our full Brexit coverage and the latest updates, please head to our website, wsj.com. U.S. stocks rose on Wednesday following suit with global markets. Markets reacted positively to Britain's parliament taking steps on Tuesday night to prevent a no-deal Brexit, as well as to the announcement that Hong Kong is withdrawing a controversial extradition bill. The Dow rose 237 points, or 0.9%. The S&P 500 rose 1.1%, and the Nasdaq was up 1.3%. Hurricane Dorian continues to make its way north as a Category 2 hurricane. The storm weakens slowly overnight as it moves north along Florida's east coast. Forecasters say the storm could still move dangerously close to Georgia and the Carolinas, but they don't expect the storm's intensity to increase. As a Category 2 storm, Dorian is packing winds of 105 miles an hour. President Trump has approved emergency declarations in Florida, Georgia, and the Carolinas. Former White House counsel Greg Craig has been acquitted by a federal jury on a felony false statement charge. Craig was indicted on charges related to legal work he performed for the Ukrainian government in 2012. Craig is one of the most prominent lawyers in Washington. He served as a top counselor for two Democratic presidents and a Secretary of State. Planned Parenthood is expanding its telemedicine app to connect patients with birth control and other services. The Wall Street Journal's Stephanie Armour explains.
They do currently have this in about half of the states, but they are expanding it sort of as part of their pushback against Republican efforts to curtail both their funding and access to women's health and reproductive issues. They see this as sort of a good way to try and reach individuals and people who may not have access to coverage, such as in rural areas, as well as younger generations who may be more familiar with technology.
Planned Parenthood says the app will be available in all 50 states by next year. Hong Kong's chief executive, Carrie Lam, is withdrawing an extradition bill that sparked a summer of protests. She delivered a televised address on Wednesday.
For more than 2 months, protests arising from the Fugitive Offenders Bill have continued. Our citizens, police and reporters have been injured during violent incidents. There have been chaotic scenes at the airport and MTR stations. Roads and tunnels have been suddenly blocked, causing delay and inconvenience to daily life.
Lam also pledged more dialogue and an independent review of the city's political, economic, and social climate. For more, The Wall Street Journal's Sam Westren spoke with Natasha Khan in Hong Kong.
So, Natasha, in mid-June, Carrie Lam announced that she would be suspending the extradition bill that sparked the protests that we've been seeing across Hong Kong over the last few months. Today, she's announced that that bill will be withdrawn. Could you just talk to me about the statement that she made?
Well, today she announced that her government would be fully withdrawing the bill, which is an important distinction and something that protesters have been taking to the streets to demand for the past number of weeks, among other demands. Because if the bill is fully withdrawn, it can't be revived as easily as it would be if it was just suspended.
How has this announcement been received by the pro-democracy protesters?
Well, right now it's still unclear whether that will really address the ongoing unrest that we've been seeing in Hong Kong in the past few months. But the immediate reaction between some of the more prominent pro-democracy figures in this leaderless movement have said that that's too little too late. One of the groups that organized some of the biggest marches we've seen this summer has said that they'll continue to be calling more marches because the protesters have always, in the past number of weeks, been saying they have five demands, and they say that this really isn't enough for them.
What else did she say during this announcement? She also made pledges for wider social issues in Hong Kong as well.
While she was making this announcement, what she said, it was, for her as chief executive, the first step she wanted to offer in order to start a dialogue with different parts of society. She also announced a few other measures. One of them include she will be seeking independent views from professionals, academics, and other people in order to look into social, political, and economic issues in Hong Kong. And she, meanwhile, also said that she will be immediately reaching out to different parts of society in order to start dialogue with them as well.
So it looks like a change of approach. Could you talk to me about that decision and what it means in the context of the relationship between Hong Kong and Beijing?
Yeah, we see this as a softer approach from Hong Kong and thereby the Beijing political masters. I mean, essentially, the Hong Kong authorities answer to Beijing and the Chinese Communist Party leaders. And so it seems that this is perhaps a softer approach, and they'll maybe see how this will be received, although analysts already are telling us that this could precede a potentially tougher response down the line if it doesn't work and serve to quell the unrest.
That's The Wall Street Journal's Natasha Khan speaking with Sam Westren. YouTube has agreed to pay a $170 million fine after complaints that it illegally collected data on children. Joining me now from San Francisco with more is Wall Street Journal reporter Rob Copeland. Rob, Google owns YouTube, and this fine amounts to, as you found out, about 2% of that company's profits just in the past quarter. Is there a sense among critics that Google got off easy in resolving these complaints?
Definitely, and this is a big issue in Washington, D.C. after the financial crisis. You might recall that the big banks and mortgage lenders didn't really get punished too much. And in fact, I believe no executives actually went to jail. So particularly left-leaning consumer groups and a number of Democratic presidential candidates have been looking for stiffer penalties for the big tech giants.
So YouTube did not admit or deny wrongdoing as part of this settlement. What exactly was it accused of doing?
So there is a law that says that if you are an internet company, you cannot store information or data or track any users under the age of 13. YouTube said it didn't originally, said it didn't have any users under 13, so it couldn't possibly be storing any data on them. A number of consumer groups complained, and this part of the settlement is YouTube admitting, yes, we do know that we have viewers under 13, and yes, we are going to start to develop some processes to make sure we're not illegally tracking them.
So what do we know about those processes YouTube is going to create? As part of the settlement, YouTube said it would offer new protections for children. What will those look like?
Well, it's going to be relatively light if you're a user. The only thing you're going to necessarily notice is that you won't be able to comment on videos which are aimed at children under 13. You also won't be able to subscribe to channels in a way so you'll automatically get videos. But the actual video that you're viewing won't change at all.
That's The Wall Street Journal's Rob Copeland joining me from San Francisco. Thanks so much, Rob.
Thank you.
And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.